The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, please continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message, number 0061, is entitled, The Moment of a Miracle.
Hello, this is Peter Wins. Before we minister God's Word, I have a special blessing to share with you. Jesse and Elizabeth Enns, our son-in-law and daughter, have just produced a worship CD. Here is a sample of their music. Following the message, you may listen to the entire song. I know you will be blessed. You may purchase a copy of this worship CD through Christians for Messiah Ministries.
Light of the morning, I sing and come.
So let's get into the Word of God now. I want to speak to you on the subject of miracles, and the title of this message is The Moment of a Miracle. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3. I'm going to read the first few verses of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Heavenly Father, whenever we get close to you or have the privilege of seeing your mighty power, we're always filled with amazement and wonder. We welcome the manifest presence of your Holy Spirit here today. We welcome your amazement and your wonder. We welcome the power of miracles. We welcome all that is your agenda for us today. We open our hearts and receive your anointing. We ask now that the word of God would go forth with power and authority, and it would change our lives to walk more closely with you, to expect more miracles, and to press forth to see them happen in our lives. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a great story in the Bible, and it happens just after the day of Pentecost. If you were there on the day of Pentecost, you would not be able to help exploding with the gospel. If you had walked with Jesus and saw so many different miracles at every turn and every town and every city, you couldn't help but be empowered with faith and with excitement and expectancy for God to do more. That's what was in the hearts of Peter and John as they went up to the temple to pray. They had no question about whether miracles actually happened. They didn't wonder whether the supernatural was still available in their time. They had seen the dead raised back to life again. They had seen blind eyes open, cripples walk, withered hands stretched out. They had seen every kind of miracle that you could imagine. They had seen the demoniac who cut himself with stones, the one who chains couldn't hold, become sober and of a right mind, and become sound again as the demons left him. They saw children who were demonized set free by the power of the living God. They had seen Jesus calm the storm, walk on water, and do unheard of things. You see, in all of the Old Testament, there were miracles that happened. There were miracles that happened in the lives of the prophets, of the ancient patriarchs, of men like Elijah and Elisha. But when Jesus came, something different happened. It was like miracles started to come regularly. It's like the power for the supernatural was opened up. What were mercy drops falling before now came like a torrent of rain as the power of God and the love of God came down upon the people of God, or all who would call upon his name, all who would have faith. And I want you to know that the power of God to perform miracles is still here today. In fact, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." As the platform and directives for the church were being laid, the scripture teaches us, if there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, who will anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And confess your faults one to another, so that you may be healed. In fact, Paul taught Timothy in the second letter to Timothy about the last days, in case we think that miracles were some apostolic few who were the disciples of Jesus, and after those disciples left the planet, so the miracles left as well. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Would you say last days? I just want to get that into your thinking with this scripture. That's where we are today. He says, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does it look familiar? But then he continues saying, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. As we look around the church today, there are many different denominations, different teaches and approaches to the Word of God. And quite frankly, I'm glad that there are. God seems to make groups that can fit everybody, every personality type, the quiet, the loud, and every color in between of personality. The Lord seems to have provided something that will fit you so that you are without excuse. If you are more academic, there's academic churches. If you are more practical, there's practical churches. The Lord has set it up for society to find him in so many different ways. But the Bible also says, be careful of those who have a form of godliness, but deny miracles, but deny the power of God. See, there are many churches that have retreated from the focus of miracles. But when Jesus came, he pulled back the curtain and let the miracles fly. And that anointing is still here today. So there are churches who say, there are no miracles today. We have to wait till we get to heaven. There are other churches that simply ignore the thought of miracles. Some miracle or some churches just won't focus on the subject of miracles. And other churches take the position, well, we know that they can happen, but we really don't expect them. But that is not what I believe the Bible teaches us to do. In fact, the Lord is excited when people have faith. He's excited when we are willing to step out beyond our comfort zone, beyond our logical reasoning, beyond that which we can hold in a box and control, and said, yes, my God is supernatural, and he really loves people, and he loves to perform miracles, and I expect him to do it everywhere I go. That's why I am excited to be a minister of the gospel. When I preach the gospel, I expect to see signs and wonders following. It is not that once in a while we see change and miraculous supernatural events happening. It is on a weekly basis that we see signs and wonders and miracles happening. Most of you realize that Joy and I have just returned from a month of ministry in Europe. Everywhere we went, whether we were in Germany or England or in Bulgaria, we saw people weeping as the power and the anointing of God comes. It's lovely to see people crying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I've seen Mexicans cry. I've seen North American Indians cry. I've seen the Chinese cry. I've seen Germans cry. I've seen English people cry. I've seen Bulgarians cry. I've seen Israelis cry. When the power of God brings change to their lives and miracles start to unfold, something happens inside of us. Those things that were closed, those things that were bolted down tight in our personalities that have caused us to be stiff and somewhat numb to life, gets broken wide open when a miracle from God comes to us. Hallelujah. That's the God that I serve. I don't want to be a part of a group that doesn't have an expectancy for supernatural miracles and change. And now I want to just speak to you personally before we look closer at this story. How expectant are you of miracles in your life and in your world? Do you or have you somehow relegated the acts of miracles to a few moments in history and perhaps it may happen once in your lifetime. If that is your kind of default viewpoint, you need an upgrade today. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may God come upon you and open your eyes to be expectant and to walk with Him for the moment of a miracle in your life. There will be a miracle that happens here today in somebody's life. I have no doubt that that will happen. Here we find the story in the scriptures. In the book of Acts, as we have read, we find that one day, it just happens one day, doesn't it? Just one day, all of a sudden, these miracles come. The moment of a miracle comes one day. It comes any day. It comes every day. On this planet, miracles are happening every minute of the day. They are supernatural. They are not just some kind of excellent counseling endeavor that changes somebody to have a different perspective or a different walk in life, but they are supernatural changes that could not have come but by the power and the presence of the living God. Now, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple. I love that word, going up, because if you want to be ready for the moment of a miracle, you've got to be going up. They were going up to pray. And there's a lot of people who go down to pray. I hope you can get my meaning here, but some people pray in depression. They pray anti-faith prayers. They pray looking down at the ground like, oh God, will you help me in my great time of suffering? And there are times of suffering and the people should call upon the Lord. But you know how Daniel prayed in his time of great suffering? He opened his windows to Jerusalem and gave thanks to the Lord God of heaven. He went up to the place of prayer. See, this was very practical word here because everybody who went to the temple had to go up because it was on Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, Arunah's threshing floor. It was on the high point. It was up there on the mount. And if you were to go up, if you were to go to the temple, you had to go up. You had to climb the stairs of ascent. The songs in the book of Psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent were specially made for the time when you're walking up the steps into the temple courts. Because sometimes there were thousands and thousands of people who, like on the Day of Atonement, had to bring sacrifice to the temple. And they all had to go up the stairs of ascent. And sometimes, like going to Disney, it was crowded. And so they had the songs of ascent, the psalms that they prayed and that they sung as they went up to the temple. But you can go up to the temple wherever you are. Do you remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman who was a very immoral person? But he started to teach her about worship and prayer. And he says that God seeks those who will worship him. And it's not just in Jerusalem or even here in Samaria. He made the point that anywhere you are, you can worship. You can go up while you're driving in the car. You can go up while you're having a shower. You can go up while you're walking in the yard. You can go up while you're at school. You can go up while you're at work. You can go up to the temple of the Lord, because the Lord teaches us in the book of Hebrews that there's a new temple. It's called the sanctuary on high. It's the holy place, and there's an open door, and there's a grand invitation for you to come boldly into the presence of an almighty God in time of need. So let's go up. And that's what Peter and John were doing. They weren't just going up to a literal place. Their hearts were already up. They were living in a place called going up. They walked in going up. That's where they live their lives. And if you want to be a person of miracles, you've got to live in the place called going up. Amen. Regardless of how difficult things are, regardless of how problematic your life may be, what the circumstances might seem to conspire against you and bring difficulty and struggle and awkwardness and even failure, the Lord teaches us that if you will look to Him, if you will lift your heads, O ye gates, the King of glory will come in. That's our only hope. And that's the only venue and release for miracles. There are a lot of entertainers. And there are a lot of people who have programs. And there are a lot of very good facilitators. There are a lot of Christian workers. There are a lot of disciples in this world who really love Jesus. But if you want to be a person of miracles, none of those things on their own will do. You've got to find connection with the Holy Spirit of God. You've got to find that which is real, that which is dynamic, that which is powerful. Whatever it takes, you've got to connect with the living God. And when you do, there's nothing that can stop the moment of a miracle. I love to go into a church and preach the gospel. Maybe you can tell that. But the gospel to me is not just telling somebody how to get saved. That's easy. It's seeing the power of God come to change people's lives. The good news of Jesus Christ is that He's going to make everything new. Is that He's going to change every kind of negative and dark and oppressive situation and bring life and strength and wholeness and goodness and victory and vitality and success and partnership with heaven. That's what the Lord gives. And that's the minister of the gospel. That's His task. Now, the scripture says that these two were going up to the temple to pray, Peter and John. And it says, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg money from those going into the temple courts. It seems like there's a big extreme here, doesn't there? On one hand, you got these two men who are living in the going up. And on the other hand, you've got somebody who's being crippled from birth. There's more ways to be crippled than just to be physically lame. There are so many people who are crippled socially, crippled economically, people who are crippled mentally. I've seen people who gave themselves to drugs in their early years and burned their brains out so that they cannot function properly anymore. They are crippled in this life. The worst kind of being crippled is somebody who is spiritually crippled, who cannot find God, who is groping like a blind man, unable to find any kind of relief or help or satisfaction or anything that is godly. And it seems that whatever they do, they cannot even find repentance. I've met some people like that. People who the Bible says have a reprobate mind. There's many different ways that a person can be crippled. But Jesus comes to heal crippled people. He comes to open the prison doors, to set the captives free. He comes to heal the brokenhearted. He comes to give somebody the mind of Christ when their mind has been shot. He comes to give us not just hope, but a spiritual encounter that will put us into partnership with the Holy Spirit. He comes to heal the crippled. This man was crippled from his birth. I do not have a doubt in my mind that generational curses were on him. All of the disciples believed in generational curses. First of all, it was taught extensively through the scriptures. They understood the law of sowing and reaping, that if you did certain kinds of sins, or if your ancestors did, there would be a judgment that would come down upon you and your children that would cause you even from birth to have a crippling kind of disability in your life. And that disability could stay with you for all of your days and be transmitted to your children and to your children's children. Do you remember the story that Jesus taught in John chapter 9, verses 1 and 2? Actually, he went to heal a man. It says, and there was a certain man who was blind from birth, just like this man was crippled from birth. And the disciples looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, is this man blind because of his own sin or because of the sins of his parents? They understood the power of generational curses. It wasn't a question to them whether or not there were curses. They said, was it something that the parents did that caused this boy to be born blind? And Jesus said, in this case, it's not because of his sin or because of his parents' sin, but that the glory of God might be seen. And now we're going to heal him. And the man was healed. Here is a man who was crippled from birth. He was dysfunctional. I have great compassion for beggars. Many nations around the world, I have come in contact with people who are on the streets begging. We have visited the leprosy colonies in India. We have stood with 50 beggars standing around us with their hands out saying, please, sir, please, sir, please, sir. We have seen it in many nations that are poor around the world. I don't have any negative feelings toward those people. I have only compassion in my heart for them. I love if those beggars, as some of them did, came to some of our meetings and we could lay our hands on them. We did give them a little silver and gold because we had perhaps more than Peter and John had at the time. But it wasn't the silver and gold that could just take them through this day that they really needed. They needed the moment of a miracle in their lives. I remember seeing some people in India, beggars off the street who had withered hands and sometimes had no legs and hardly a tooth in their mouth and looked like they weren't going to make it through the year before they would die of some terrible sickness. And we laid our hands on them. As they fell to the floor, demons came screaming out of them, and the peace of God came, and the cripple was made whole. Miracles happen wherever we will connect with God and move in faith. Let me ask you, did this miracle for this crippled man happen because of the apostles or because of the man, the crippled man? Remember, the crippled man had been there all his life. He had gone there because his friends, who were kind to him, carried him to the gate called Beautiful, just outside of the temple, so that he could beg. The gate was called Beautiful, but there was nothing beautiful about his situation. And it wasn't because of what he did that he received healing that day. Do you know that Jesus went into villages and healed everyone who was there? The only place where that didn't happen was in his own hometown, because people didn't think that miracles could come through the son of Joseph. And because of their unbelief and the hardness of their hearts, they didn't see many miracles in those places. Now, I don't think it was this man's faith. He was a survivor. When I see people begging, I don't criticize them for what they're doing. It's a matter of survival for them. For some people, that's all that they can do. I remember visiting Zimbabwe, and at the time when I visited, some 16 years ago now, the nation was quite a Christian nation. And I was amazed that even the beggars were singing songs to the Lord. And most of them, rather than just begging, they were selling something. They had a box of pencils or some kind of little knick-knack that they had laid out in front of them that were really not very valuable at all. And there was a blind person sitting there singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." I thought, if begging's gotta happen, that's about the best way I've ever seen it. I was impressed. Somebody had taught this person some good steps, at least, towards thanking the Lord. And instead of just asking, why don't you at least sell something? A pencil might be useful to somebody. But even the best of begging isn't what we've been called to. And there's a lot of people with a beggar mentality in our society. I don't mean people who are just looking for handouts. I mean people who live in the mully grubs. People who live in the basement. People who have some kind of crippled part of their personality or their body or their situation that causes them to be disadvantaged, and because of it, they live like a beggar. They live without joy. They live only in survival. They live in a place of struggle continuously. Regardless of your disposition today, you do not have to live like a beggar, and you do not have to walk around like a crippled person in spirit, because you might have been born that way, or because you might have received a generational curse or some kind of other dark thing that has come down upon you because of wrong choices you've made, because of abuse that has been cast against you and perpetrated against you. There's no reason today why you need to leave this place still crippled and still living like a beggar. Amen. For a greater than Moses is here. Amen. And a greater than Abraham is here. And a greater than even Elijah, the miracle man, is here. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I like what happened when Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. And as they were going up, all of a sudden, this man got their attention. The beggar who's crippled from birth, sitting at the gate called Beautiful. Like people who live in the United States who are still really messed up with every opportunity that the natural world could afford them. And they reached, I called out to Peter and John, "Alms for the poor. Can you give me some money, please, sir? Just a little change." And they looked at him. I like it when they said they fixed their gaze on him. It's like, oh my, this is the moment. It says they talked to him and said, "Look at us." Look, and they look straight into each other's eyes. I love it when people are lined up at the front of a church and I get to look in their eyes, not because I'm looking for some dark, awful secret or some sin. I'm looking with excitement. I'm looking like a little boy at Christmas for an explosion of God's gifts. I'm looking for change to come. I know that this is a moment for that person when the Holy Spirit of God is going to meet them. Healing is going to come. Demons are going to flee. Curses are going to be broken. The situation is going to change. And I love to stare into people's eyes with that in my heart, because I just love people and I love what God loves to do for them. And Peter and John said, fix your gaze on us. We don't have silver or gold, but that which we have, we're going to give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And it says they helped the man to his feet, and he stood on his feet. He'd been crippled from birth. This was a first for him. And he started jumping and leaping and praising God. Not to mention that there was no muscles on his bones. Atrophy had set in long time ago. A person who doesn't use their muscles finds that their muscles become just skin. They lose it. There's no strength there. But this man is leaping and jumping and praising God. But there's a secondary miracle that's taken place. He's not only got his legs working, but the muscle has somehow grown into position. Or somehow God's given strength on those bony legs for him to stand. And he cannot contain himself. He starts jumping and praising God. This man was no doubt Jewish. He knew about the living God. He was outside the temple. And when God healed him, he had a heaven party. Well, the Holy Spirit is here right now. And there's a call of God on your life. Some things need to be broken. Doubt. Cynicisms. Attitudes of unbelief. That which the world dictates, in which casual churches will not own for themselves. It's time for you to own the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who is the miracle-working God. That's who he is. If you don't appreciate God as the one who loves to perform miracles, your faith is almost non-existent, because that's who he is. Now I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will fix something in you. Regardless of what you see with your eyes or what you have previously been able to believe, regardless of how crippled you might have been in life or how much of a bigger spirit you might realize that you have, today is a day of change. It's the moment of a miracle. And it begins with an appreciation of who God is and what he wants to do. Once the miracle anointing is on your life and you live in the place called going up, you pray in the going up, you walk in the going up, you're always looking to the Lord with thanksgiving and expectancy, then the miracles will flow through you to others. Yes, more miracles will come through the hands of apostles, but these signs shall follow all that believe. In my name, they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Can you sense that the Holy Spirit is operating in your heart right now? God's doing something very profound with us. And let's welcome his anointing now. If you've lost something along the way, it's time to reclaim it for the glory of God. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Lord, we believe that every moment is the moment for a miracle. Lord, it's not just at special times, at special events, as in days of old when you came by the Holy Spirit upon the prophets. But now the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter and teacher, is the one who lives within us. And he who is within us is the source of anointing and power, the source of miracles. Lord, we want to walk in humility, not arrogance. We want to have an extraordinary spirit, not just be performers. But Father, we expect to see the power of miracles flowing in our lives. Now I ask for a supernatural release in this room, for healings to take place, for wounded hearts. Where vision has been broken or drowned, I lift the vision back to the forefront. Where physical sickness has hindered progress, I break its power in the name of Jesus. Where demons have tormented, I call their time to an end and break their strongholds over the lives of people in this room by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I'd like for you to pray with me. Would you repeat a prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for saving me, for all that you've given to me, and for being faithful to me. Today I want to go further in the power and purposes of God for my life. I ask that the fire of God that is on the altar of heaven would come upon me, cleanse me. Let that fire touch my lips so that my words are upright, so that my heart is upright, so that my hands are clean. I give it all to you today. Now, Lord, I ask that the mind of Christ would be in me. Lord, let faith come. I receive the faith of the Lord. Let the miracles come. Let the supernatural power of God come. Let me see miracles. Let me live in miracles. Lord, let me connect with you for the power of the kingdom of God. I receive your anointing today. I receive it in the name of Jesus. And I give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.
Jesus, that glorious name, the only name by which we are saved. Wonderful Counselor, the King of Kings and Lord of all Lords, your name is lifted high. It's your name.